Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. So right now, there are 100,000 Russian troops stationed near that country's border with Ukraine. And fears continue to grow that an invasion is maybe just around the corner. The United States has ordered the families of staff at the American embassy in that country to leave the country and is also allowing non-essential embassy employees to leave. Meanwhile, President Biden is considering sending 5,000 troops to Eastern Europe. So what would it mean if Russia invades Ukraine, both for the countries involved, but also for us here in the United States? And why is this something Americans should be paying closer attention to? With me now is someone we turn to often on this show when Russia is involved. Aaron Reddish is a history professor at Wayne State University with a specialization in Soviet and Russian history. Aaron, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk about what's going on between Russia and Ukraine right now. Why is Russia building up troops with the very real possibility of using those troops to invade Ukraine?
Right. So the kind of the short answer is that they're worried that Ukraine is moving into the Western orbit. This has been their fear since the mid-90s. And the Russian government's also worried that NATO is building up, basically encircling Russia on the Western border. And this has been a long fear that Ukraine would join NATO, would join the EU, and there would be, as Putin said, they'd be knocking at the door. They'd be right at the doorstep of Russia.
So there are lots of former Russian Soviet republics that border Russia, and many of them seem to have the same kind of impulses that Ukraine has, and we don't see Russia invading them. What is it about Ukraine that makes them of particular interest to Putin and to Russia?
That is kind of the big question. So Putin, who's a bit of a history buff, has often actually penned historically inaccurate accounts about how Russia and Ukraine come from the same cradle of Kievan Rus, and that their historical legacy, that is the birth of Eastern Orthodox Christianity, come from Kiev, and that they are inseparable, that they are one people. So that's part of it. Putin has said several times that Ukraine is not a nation, that it's part of Russia. This came out in, especially in 2004 and then 2008. So there is something specific about Ukraine, the fact that they're Slavic, that makes the Kremlin pay special attention to them. They're also the largest border, separating Russia from Europe. And that's also kind of this idea that there are this bulwark is really important.
So what are the biggest implications if the Russians were to invade Ukraine? And what would it mean for us here in the United States? Of course, the most significant impact would be in Eastern Europe, I would think. Obviously, there would be all kinds of, I think, ripple effects of that decision. But obviously, President Joe Biden is also very interested in this and very worried about it. So talk about what it would mean if Russia just decides to invade.
So this has the potential to be the largest conventional war in Europe since World War II. The second largest kind of military exercise in Europe before then was Russia's invasion of Crimea in 2014. So this has the potential to be a major war, not just possibly between Russia and Ukraine, but its neighbors. And then the question is, what will NATO do? So there is the potential there. The most likely scenario is that Russia will not launch an invasion and try to capture Kiev. It just doesn't make sense. It's possible that Russia will try to annex or recognize the two statelets of the Donbass region and Luhansk. But we'll see. I mean, but those in Michigan should be very concerned about this. As you said, not just that this could be a massive European conflict, but it will change kind of the global politics of kind of possibly moving into a new Cold War. You will see it in your pocketbook because it will increase fuel prices. And Detroit also has one of the largest populations of East Europeans in the United States. So many of your listeners will probably have relatives or personal connection to the region.
Yeah. This idea of a large scale shooting war in Eastern Europe, how likely is that given the things that you just said about history and how long it's been since something like that actually happened?
So if I said that I knew, I would be lying. And
no
that's
one
the
knows,
case.
Right?
Yeah. That's really important that nobody knows. And I do not have a link to the Kremlin. I doubt that Putin knows either. So we just don't know. We know that there are somewhere around 100,000 troops, circling Ukraine up into Belarus as well. And that there are military exercises going on there now around Belarus. So if Russia actually did invade Ukraine and actually try to take over Kiev, then it would be dealing with a large scale occupation. And I see this as Putin actually acting in a state of weakness, that there are domestic concerns, that he's reacting to the West. So the idea that they would be that Russia would be able to occupy Ukraine seems to me unbelievable. But again, I say this without full knowledge of what's going on inside the halls of the Kremlin.
I'm talking with Aaron Reddish, a history professor at Wayne State University, who's got a specialization in Soviet and Russian history. We're talking about what's going on right now between Russia and Ukraine. About 100,000 Russian troops are assembled along the border with Ukraine. No one has said specifically why they're there or what the intent is, but you don't have to be a genius, I think, to read a little into it that this is some sort of threat to Ukraine, perhaps the threat of invasion if that were to happen. What would that mean in Eastern Europe? What would that mean to us here in the United States? As always, we want to hear from you during the conversation. Are you concerned about what's happening between Russia and Ukraine? And what do you think of the United States' response so far? And what do you think the United States' response should be if Russia does invade Ukraine? As always, the number on the phones here is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and to Twitter and put comments there, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Aaron, I want to put that question to you. What you make of President Biden's response so far, and what the United States should do if this is indeed an attempt by Russia to invade even part of Ukraine?
So Biden's response, I think, is very much like what Obama's was: frustration with Putin, frustration with his lying, but unable to actually stop or kind of rein in or box in Putin. And that's the dilemma. Biden has already said that they're not going to use U.S. troops in Ukraine. So positioning forces somewhere like possibly 8,500 forces and bringing NATO forces to the border of Ukraine will do no good unless they're going to actually threaten to use them. Mm-hmm. You know, they brought in military aid, there's into Ukraine, economic aid into Ukraine. But the alternatives, if Russia actually invades, and I'm not quite sure what Biden means by invasion, is to do this amorphous type of sanctions. And this is the problem, is that as Russia and the United States and European countries kind of do this dance, they are running out of options outside of combat. So if there actually are sanctions, it's going to be economic, and those are going to not probably be that, they're not going to impact Russia immediately or as forcefully as the United States wants. If anything, the sanctions that they're going to put down, kind of broad sanctions on banks, possibly trying to take Russia off of SWIFT, that is the bank transactions, are going to hurt everyday Russians the most. And that's the question. It's kind of this moral dilemma. Is that what the United States and NATO and the European countries want?
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. You can also go to Twitter or Facebook and put comments there. Let's start with Robert in Detroit. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm just saying that with 100,000 troops versus maybe 8,000 U.S. troops, these acts of aggressions and the history of Crimea, the invasion over there, why do we need to wait until an invasion? I think we should immediately seize all Russian assets, especially for oligarchs, and have embargoes on all luxury items.
Robert, that's a different way to go, for sure. I really appreciate the call and the comment and suggestion there. Aaron, why not be more aggressive, I suppose, with this? And as Robert points out, it's not necessarily aggression through military. It's the economic side of it that that he would like to see us do.
Sure. So there are two reasons not to do that. The first is if the United States imposes further economic sanctions before Russia actually invades, then that basically plays into the Kremlin's rhetoric that it's not Russia that's increasing tensions, it's the West that is bringing troops in, et cetera, that if they impose sanctions now, then that's basically going to cut off the diplomatic channel. So tomorrow, Russia is supposed to meet with the United States, France, Ukraine, I think that's it, in Paris to kind of further these discussions for the diplomatic maneuvers. And if the United States did that, that would essentially end diplomatic, kind of the diplomatic path, and Russia might then actually invade. The other thing is that the United States has already imposed broad sanctions on Russian oligarchs. They can expand it, but that only goes so far. There are limited measures that economic sanctions can do at this point.
Again, Robert, thanks for the call and the really provocative suggestions. Let's go to John in Oak Park. John, what's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. I was listening to a YouTube lecture by a Soviet scholar who posited that promises were made to Gorbachev as terms for bringing down the wall in Berlin, that NATO would not expand in any way towards Russia. So I'm wondering if Putin is offended that this promise is being violated, and is there a promise if there's no longer a Soviet Union?
Great question, John. Aaron, what's the answer?
John's exactly right. This was done actually in the 90s, that NATO promised Russia that it would not take one step to the east, and then it promptly broke that by basically bringing in troops, positioning troops in the Baltics and Bulgaria and Romania. There are missiles in Ukraine, that there was this flirtation with Georgia. And this is one of the things that Putin has said repeatedly, that he wants the West to actually live up to this promise. So yes, that's exactly right.
But that promise was made before the dissolution, really, of the Soviet Union. And isn't it that the former republics now want to be part of the West? They want to be part of NATO. Does that change that equation in any way?
Well, it was kind of into the 90s and into the post-Soviet era as well. Yeah, it was a promise that was never exactly written down. So it was never actually signed. So it's something that Russia has gone back to. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, can we actually stop Bulgaria from moving, kind of wanting the NATO alliance? Yeah, this is exactly the question.
Yeah. Let's quickly take Anthony in Southwest Detroit. Anthony, I got about a minute left, but go ahead.
Yeah, quickly, Stephen, you know, you keep saying if there was a Russian invasion, you'll say, well, maybe there already was in Crimea. Well, that kind of, you know, discounts what happened in 2014 where our own U.S. personnel supported what many call a fascist coup in Ukraine. And they kind of, the people in Crimea were not having it, and they'd rather be with Russia. So that all aside, I find it hard to believe that Russia is aggressing, loading up troops in their own country. Tell me why the head of the German Navy had to resign the other day. He spilled the beans. He said they don't want to invade. They're not going to. Mm. The EU, the NATO, and the UN have not pulled out their embassy personnel. Mm. And we're arming paramilitaries and pouring in weaponry into Ukraine.
Yeah. Anthony, again, thanks for the call and the comments. Aaron, what's your response?
So a couple of things. First of all, the United States, so there's this rumor that the United States is funding paramilitaries in Ukraine and building up chemical weapons. There's no basis of fact in that. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the revolution in Ukraine 2013 to 2014, while there were some fascist elements, it was largely a West-leaning democratic revolution. So I would counter some of those ideas. Likewise, in 2014, when the rebels in eastern Ukraine, the Donbass, Luhansk, rebelled, they were supported by the Russian military, first through technology and then advisors and then regular Russian troops. So it's much more complicated than kind of this Western aggression.
Okay, Aaron Reddish, always great to have you here with us on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for joining.
My pleasure.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when I'm going to talk with author Rachel Ann Jolie about her book, Rust Belt Femme. It's about what it means to love a place that doesn't always love you back. Something you might know a little bit about here in Detroit. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.